Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hi, I'm Anna Marie Cox, and welcome to The Churn, a podcast that explores the universe of The Expanse. Now, this is episode 5 of this podcast, but if you're listening to it promptly after it dropped, you may have noticed that we have not done any recaps of episodes of the show, which is now available all episodes on Amazon. So obviously, this episode is almost entirely spoiler-free. There are a few references to some plot developments, but I promise you they are frustratingly vague. Now, we are going to recap episodes, and you will want to subscribe to this show so you don't miss them. But prior to those recaps, we are setting the table with interviews with the cast. And in this case, today, it's a conversation with Wes Chatham, who plays the misleadingly plain-spoken Rossi mechanic, Amos. Now, it's hard to pick a favorite from the crew of the Rossi. They are all endearing in their own ways. But if there was one crew member whose character arc fascinates me the most, it's Amos. He's both obvious and mysterious and blunt and inscrutable. And he's the character with the most potential to grow and change, in my opinion. Now, Wes has taken on the challenge of Amos with a level of dedication that may mirror Amos's own loyalty to his friends. And in this conversation, we get into how Wes laid the foundation for his approach to the character by researching the effects of childhood trauma. He got in touch with the very events that formed Amos. Now, keep in mind, if you are in a place physically or mentally where references to trauma aren't welcome, they are coming, so make your choices accordingly. But that is not all we discuss. We also discuss his relationship to other characters and his burgeoning love life. It's a wide-ranging conversation, and it's coming right up. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm very excited to talk to you because I think that Amos has had one of the most interesting journeys of anyone on the show. A lot of it seems to be interior, but to me, he's changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, what do you think?
I agree with you. I think, on so many different levels, you know, for instance, you know, you think about season one and how his relationship with Naomi, and that relationship is now expanded to the rest of the Rossi crew. And it is, he is connected to Holden and Alex and Naomi all in the same way. I think, you know, ultimately, what I'm most excited about this season 4 and then continuing in season 5 is that you really kind of, you know, we've really gotten to know the exterior of Amos. We got to know kind of what he has created on the outside to deal with the things that he is not showing us on the inside. There are circumstances in season 4 where all of those mechanisms are stripped away and he loses his ability to control the environment around him. And you really see what's underneath it all. And then continuing on to season 5, the catalyst of season 4 sends him to season 5 to deal with the demons of his past and his childhood. And he has to go back to Baltimore.
God, I really love that storyline. I'm looking forward to it. Because there are hints, of course, like throughout the series and even more explicitly in the books, that he comes from a place of almost unbelievable trauma, like just intense trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where his desire to control things comes from. And mm-hmm. even his, like, it's funny. What do you think his relationship to violence is?
The amount of, and this kind of comes from a lot of work and research that I've done. I remember giving the churn to a psychologist and us sitting down and saying, like, if this happened to one, and this is kind of how he's behaving now. How does this behavior manifest itself into an adult? And what are the defense mechanisms that we create? And there was also a really important book for this, for playing Amos, that I read called The Body Keeps the Score. And it's a book about trauma. And it's a phenomenal book. And it has a ton of case studies. And you read these trends and these things that happen over and over and over within all these case studies. And ultimately, what we do is we create this version of ourselves that our outer personalities, our egos, that ultimately protects the vulnerability and the fear that we have inside. And a lot of ways that we do that is we can manually disconnect our emotional circuitry because it's too much to deal with. And so we disassociate from it. We completely disconnect from that. So now if you don't have that emotional factor in the equation, and you look at a situation like an engineer and you say, okay, this person is going to be a threat for me, and I need to deal with this threat as efficiently as possible. And a lot of times it's like, I need to brutally take this person out in a way that it will not be a factor in the long run. And so Amos has that ability. I mean, if that is his talent in a way, it is his dark talent that he has lost touch with all his emotional baggage with being violent towards another person, to the point where he has to be very careful to not go too far, because it could happen without him really. If he's not paying attention, he could really do some terrible things.
I feel like something that I came to understand about Amos is that, like, for a time I thought he might be on the autism spectrum, because, you know, he has this kind of blank affect, right? Like, he has a very stoic physical presence. But then I actually talked to Ty and Daniel, and they were telling me more about, this is when I was early on in the books, they were telling me more about the trauma he experienced, again, unimaginable trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me a little bit about what you're saying, sort of sketched that out. And I realized, you know, Amos is actually an emotional person. It's disconnected from those emotions. They're happening, but he's just like, they're on another place. He's watching them. He's not experiencing them. Does that make sense? Because I feel like he definitely goes through things.
Mm-hmm. It definitely makes sense. And I think, you know, we all do this in one degree or another. There are things that we have inside us, our deepest fears, our deepest insecurities, and we have found ways to push them deep down and disconnect from them. And we have created our outward personality in a way that will protect us. And it gives us what we think is an ability to manage people's perception and expectation around us, and to manage our environment. And we try to control it in a way that protects us. But in all of our lives, there will be moments where those mechanisms get stripped away from us, and we see ultimately how vulnerable we really are and how deep that fear really runs. And the longer you kind of run from certain things that you do not want to feel or you do not want to experience, and it's very apparent in Amos's alcoholism and his, you know, his sexual life, these are all escapes or ways because he doesn't want to deal or confront or feel these things that that could be there. And in season four, there will be there's a moment where all of those external mechanisms that he's used to control the environment around him are stripped away from him, and you really see just how vulnerable and how much fear is in there.
There's a conversation in the first half of the season that to me speaks to both who he was and kind of who he's becoming, and that's the conversation he has with Murtry about being a killer. To me, I see in that conversation both the old Amos and the one that's trying to emerge, because he's a killer too, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's trying to distinguish himself from another killer.
And I think ultimately what the mechanism and the, so from what Amos was exposed to and the type of men and people in his life at an early age, he has had to develop this sense of really reading people immediately and understanding who they are, what their motivations are. And that's just, that's a sense of, that's how he survived. And that's the talent that he has that made him survive. So when we meet Mercury, when he meets Mercury early in the story, he knows who he is. He knows what he is. And he knows what he wants. And he knows ultimately, Amos knows, that what Holden is there to do, what his job is, and what Mercury's job is, they are on a collision course. They cannot exist in the same space. And it's really, he knows that there will come a time where it's time that Mercury, we are going to have a moment. And Mercury knows, he knows that as well, because we are kind of from the same cloth. And ultimately, you know, the conversation we have when we're at the bar is like, I see you and I know what you want. And he sees me and he knows what I want. And we know that this is not, we know how this is going to end, but nobody else yet knows. Nobody else sees it. And we kind of have to wait till it plays out because they wouldn't understand.
You know, it's really interesting to hear you talk about Amos, especially the fact that you read The Body Keeps the Score.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know a lot of people who have read it. I've read it. And they're almost all women. The idea that you would read this and, you know, Amos is such a almost stereotypically masculine guy.
Mm-hmm.
But as we were saying, like, he's undergone so much trauma, and some of it, a little bit of, I don't think this is a spoiler to say it was sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you've done some thinking about gender and even maybe the Me Too movement in thinking about Amos?
I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure that that is kind of, you know, I spend a lot of time really trying to understand and try to gain as much knowledge as I can as, like, what has happened to him and how that manifests and how to be as honest and truthful as I can about that. And so, you know, that research, and also too, like, even Kelly Brogan's book about nutrition, like, and I think that book is actually specifically written for women, but it's really fascinating about mental health and her take on mental health and how nutrition plays in that. So yeah, I mean, I pull from everything that I possibly can to kind of inform the moment and be as truthful and honest as I can.
Is this stuff you thought about before you came to the show?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I'm very curious, and specifically curious about human nature, but also the work that I do, you know, as an actor, this has always been kind of the way that I really understand what a character wants, what the motivation is, and what's driving them. And so it is, but this is definitely really focused. And also, what's really fascinating about playing a role or a character, and I used to have this acting teacher, her name was Sandra Seacat, and she believed on a spiritual level that every character that we play, every role that comes to us, however it comes to us, there are things that character needs to deal with and needs to learn that are parallel to what you as a person needs to deal with and learn. And a lot of the work and emotional work that you put into a character also is things that you need to do for yourself. And so I don't really know how all those connect at all times, but I do know that if I work as hard as I can and I live and I am as honest and truthful as I am with the character, I do know that that bleeds and adds catharsis for your own life.
Well, now I have to ask if there's anything that you've thought of that's come to you as being a thing that you needed to address that you've gotten to through Amos.
In a general way, I think, you know, just kind of going back to what I was saying earlier, is I think that every time you work on something intimately like this, it bleeds into your personal life. And there is, I agree, you know, and so that's, you know, without getting too specific or whatever.
I was going to say, you can get as personal as you want, but of course, I respect your boundaries. So maybe let's flip a little bit, because I don't want to, this has been a fairly heavy, but it also must be fun to play him. What's the most fun you have?
Oh my God, it's incredibly fun. I think I know how rare this is. I know how rare it is to be a part of a story as rich and complex as The Expanse and to have a character as fascinating as Amos. And here we are going into season 5, and I'm as fascinated and interested and intrigued with him as I was when I read the pilot. And I feel like I'm just starting to really get underneath the surface, and it's just starting to really understand it. And so I know how lucky that is, but it's incredibly creatively satisfying to play somebody like him. But one of the things that I really enjoy the most is being completely free and of the constraints of caring about what people think or even the social, being free in social situations where you completely don't feel the need to make somebody feel comfortable or make somebody like you or to make them feel at ease, where you can just be however you're feeling in that moment. And that's pretty, it's pretty fun to play, because that part is different than from me.
I was going to say, is that something that's rubbed off on you at all?
Not that I have noticed.
Yeah, maybe this question for your friends, for like people that have to interact with you, like if you become, and I want to be clear, like that doesn't make Amos a dick or anything. Like it just.
It's a different dimension than like rude or not rude, or he doesn't really exist in that plane, if that makes sense. If there's an alien from outer space and you come and you explain to them, this is human behavior, this is how you socially interact, this is how socially lubricant, you need to care what these people think and try not to hurt these people's feelings, and that alien does the best they can, but it's still going to be awkward. It's still not going to have the same rhythm than somebody that is actually a human being that grew up in it and lived it this way, this certain life.
And is there something that is a new challenge? We've talked a lot about his development and all the research you've done, but is there a new challenge for you this season?
Yes, because as soon as I started to really, you know, again, like we all do, you kind of create this outer personality, this outer ego to manage the environment around you, to protect yourself against emotions and vulnerability. As soon as I really understood what that was for Amos, now we're stripping it all away. And so now there's a vulnerability that he feels in a, and there's triggers into fear and things from the past that he hasn't felt in probably 20 years that now all of a sudden is there as if it's happening in real time. And that's how trauma works. And ultimately having to deal with that in the moment and with, you know, with all of his people and that he loves needing him and not in, well, there's only so much I can say about that.
I was going to say, part of me wants to ask you more about it because I only got through season. I'm only so far in the season, and I have some idea because of the books. But I think we can say without spoilers to say that like he's going to have to get through this and process some of this pain and trauma, while at the same time, like everybody's life is in threat, right?
Right. Like, and also, you know, it doesn't mean that he will process. It doesn't mean that he will be successful in doing that.
Do you think, what is he left behind, do you think?
In Baltimore?
Yeah, let's answer for Baltimore. That's like a concrete thing.
The most important relationship that he's ever had in his life, and also the presence that still exists in his mind and in his heart, is Lydia. And it is the person who was his mother figure, who raised him, but also was his lover. The reason that Amos connects to Naomi and Holden and Alex and is really, it's important to him to try to be a good person, to try to do the right thing, it isn't because it's any kind of motivation of his, it was a motivation of Lydia's. And what she realized early on is that this kid, this young boy is being destroyed and he is being abused in a way that he is going to become a monster. And she did not want that to happen. And so she took me in and she really pounded in my head, you cannot become this. If you become this, you are part of the things that are hurting me. You are part of the things that are hurting you. This is not what we want you to be. And I know it's easier to give in to it. It's easier to live your life in this way. But you need to do more. You need to work harder. This can't be who you are. And so as he is navigating his life, that is Lydia that is making him connect to Naomi. That is Lydia motivating him and in his ear and still in his heart that he's trying to still live up and make her proud and make her happy. And ultimately, through circumstances that we learned about in the churn, he had to leave in a way where he never got to say goodbye, and he can never return, and he can never contact her. And so he doesn't know how she's doing. He doesn't know what her life is like. He doesn't know if she's being abused or being treated kindly. And so that is the one thing that always occupies his mind and always occupies his thoughts is Lydia.
As you were talking, it occurred to me, like, I think that everyone on the Rossi, to a certain extent, has a surprisingly easy time with accepting the fact that there's a ghost on board. There's like a few moments of humor about this, like in this mm-hmm. season, about like, well, can't you talk to Miller? You know,
yeah.
Like, hey,
yeah.
Like just your invisible friend, like just get him on the line somehow. And I was wondering if Alex, for Amos, like he's like, well, yeah, you know, like he has a person like I have.
Like, oh, yeah. 100%. It's way easier for him to grasp than everybody else. And what's interesting is that in the beginning, he's nervous because Holden is acting in a way that he has never acted before and kind of uncharacteristically. Mm-hmm. But as soon as Holden's like, yeah, this thing is in my head and it's telling me what to do, he's like, oh, I get it. And then he's done. I was like, I don't need any more questions. And, you know, Amos is the one that trusts Holden when he says this is the speed we got to go through when we go through the ring gates. And, you know, so, yeah, so it's definitely easy for him to grasp that and to understand that.
Yeah, there's a certain extent I think that Amos has one up on us. Like, I think in the way that he doesn't care what other people think. Like, there's some parts of him that I really admire besides just like sheer strength and ability to fight.
There is a certain way that he can see the world and see through people and really kind of get, really understand human beings before anybody else does. And what's interesting, I think, too, is like, you know, from the macro, you know, Holden's so involved in the outer politics of the galaxy and wanting to do this and wanting to do that. And, you know, they're all caught up in it. And I don't think I have much interest in all of that. I don't have much interest. I just look at this as like, oh, here we go again. Because if I had it my way, we would just go off and do our thing and let the rest of the world do what it needs to do. And we would go off and make our money and go to our brothels and go to our bars and just, you know, just exist and take care of one another. The fact that we get pulled into all this stuff, my only motivation is like, well, this is where my family's going and I'm going to watch out for them. I'm going to take care of them. But I do not have a dog in the fight of the greater social, economic, political struggle that's going on.
And maybe in some ways that makes him relatable for most people. Like, I think that's
yeah.
most...
yes. Correct.
Before we wind up, I want to ask you, if for people, what can people look forward to? Like, we've talked about his inner life, but what's something you're excited for people to see unfold? Like, is it the romance? There's a romance that's, like, not just fucking in a brothel for him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, you know, Amos has a relationship. Yes, so this is something I'm definitely excited for people to experience, because sex for Amos has always been, it's always been transactional. I mean, that's how he experienced when he was, you know, when he was growing up. And it's always a distraction. It's always, you know, with alcohol and with sex, it's a way to avoid from feeling the things that you need to deal with on the inside. And so that relationship started with Jess. It started in that, you know, in that vein. They were both kind of using each other in a way. They both were using it as a distraction, but it became more intimate than any of them anticipated. And it becomes a relationship where they truly care for one another. And that will have its obstacles.
Well, that's all I got. Is there anything that you want to add?
Just that I'm so grateful that we're here talking about season 4 and 5, and in that I feel like, you know, we've been doing some of our best work, and that we get to continue to tell this story and explore these characters.
Yeah, no, it's been fun. They gave me to season 4, episode 6, which you may not have all the episodes sort of lined up in your head, but there's a huge cliffhanger, so I feel kind of resentful that I have to
I can't wait. I cannot wait to see the rest.
I'm excited. As a fan of the books, it's one of those things like I get it's I really appreciate how they get away from the books just enough to keep people who are fans of the books like having to watch. You know, like
yeah.
I know the general idea, but anyway, it's really fun. So I know I have someone coming right up after you, but this has been great. And I really do love and appreciate like how much the work you've done on Amos comes from like a real research of trauma. I think that's just really, I just really want to, as sometimes we say in therapy, honor that. That's, thank you. Thank you for doing that.
I really appreciate that. And thank you for taking time to sit at. And, you know, one day we'll talk about the body keeps the score.
Thanks for listening. That is it for this show. Again, traditional recaps are coming, as are more interviews with the cast. Subscribe to the feed so you don't miss them. Until next time.